Our scripture for today comes from the Gospel of Matthew in the 13th chapter, verses 31 and 33 through 33 and 44 through 46. Hear the word of the Lord. He put before them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed that someone took and sowed in its field. It is the smallest of seeds, but when it is grown, it is the largest of shrubs and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and make nests in its branches. He told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed in 3 measures of flour until all of it was leavened. And then continuing in verse 44, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, which someone found and hid. Then in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Also, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls. On finding one pearl of great value, he went and sold all that he had, and he bought it. May God bless this reading, hearing, and understanding of this holy word. Amen. So, I've got a couple parables to talk about today. And I'm actually going to talk about these in reverse. I want to talk about these in reverse order than what we read in them. Now, so the second part of these parables talks about someone finding treasure in a field, finding, you know, probably a treasure chest or something like that. And he hides it and he goes and he buys the field. Why? If you found a treasure chest, what would you do? Whoop. Finders keepers, losers weepers. But no, the person buys the field, and then he gets the treasure chest. The second parable that Jesus talks about is a merchant that finds probably a perfect pearl. Perfect in how round it is, purple, perfect in its color, in its size. And he sells everything that he has, which is probably more than what that pearl was actually worth. But he sells all that he has. And he buys that pearl. That doesn't make a whole lot of sense, does it? I mean, you know, when you're talking about treasure, you know, I think of all of the pirate movies that we've seen. You think about Treasure Island. I think about a movie called Yellowbeard. Does anybody know Yellowbeard? Okay, you have fine taste, madam. And it was, you know, there's a treasure map, and you know, you follow it, and X marks the spot. You go, you dig it up, and it's yours. And all it's cost you is, you know, how much you have to pay your crew, the ship, and all of that. So, are these two parables? What is Jesus talking about? What's the treasure? What's the pearl? Well, I think what Jesus is talking about here is the treasure is heaven. Treasure is having that relationship with God and with Jesus. Wouldn't you say that's a treasure? Would you say it's a treasure? Yep. I would say it is. It's a treasure. But so what does it mean that the man that found the treasure in the field, he went and he bought the field? The person that found the pearl sold everything that he had in order to buy that pearl. Well, what it says to me, what that means is, yes, there is this treasure that we as Christians can take as our own, so to speak, but there's a price to it. And that price is everything that we are, everything that we were, everything we are, and everything that we will be, including our relationships, our family, our spouses. We give that to God and to Jesus. We don't hold, well, we shouldn't hold anything back. Everything is God's to do with what he wants. Now, what's the advantage to doing that? Well, for that, we go back to those first two parables, where Jesus says that the kingdom of God is like a mustard seed. Mustard seeds, very, very small, but you plant them, and when they grow, they're huge. They're huge. That seed becomes more, it becomes bigger. You get a lot more out of planting that one mustard seed than just the single mustard seed by itself. What was the second parable? The second parable talked about a woman taking yeast, adding it into flour, and mixing it up. Now, if you take and add yeast to something, to bread dough, or my father used to make cinnamon rolls and he put yeast in there, what happens? It rises. It gets bigger. I remember after my father had mixed up all of the dough, he put a towel over it and put it in front of the radiator, and every once in a while I would sneak over and I'd lift the edge of the towel up. And it started out very low in the bowl, and I'd go over and it got a little bit bigger. I'd go back and get a little bit bigger. Finally, it filled the entire pan. You see, my friends, when we give everything that we have to God, we get a whole lot more back than what we are given. We get confidence. We get the ability to do what God wants us to do. And we're given the tools for which to do that. And you think about it, too, how valuable is salvation? Is being saved, is that worth more than me in this corporeal form? Is it worth the trade? I would say so. I would say so. Now, let's be real about something. We are told that we need to surrender everything to God. Is that a very easy thing to do? Nope. Is it easy when your spouse is in pain? Is it easy to give that all over to God? Or does a little piece kind of stay behind? How many times have you said that, "Dear Lord, I give this situation to you and pray that you would work it out," and then 5 seconds later, "Wait a minute, God, let me just take that back for a couple of seconds." Perfection is something that we will not ever achieve while we are here on earth. But what is more important is constantly striving for perfection. To try to keep moving in that direction. To try to, in everything that we do, have God and Christ involved in it. God understands when perhaps we don't give everything over to Him. You know, it's a natural human thing to be concerned for a loved one, concerned for a spouse. And when you see them suffering, it's normal to be worried and to be concerned, but at the same time, we have to remember to at least try to give it to God, to keep praying about it. And that's what I mean about striving for perfection in everything we do. Because, again, we are supposed to give everything about us to God and trust that He will take and He will use it the way that He intends so that we can be His vessels here on earth. So, in everything that we do, I encourage you to go for the gold. Go for that perfection, knowing you'll never make it. But again, getting to perfection is not the most important thing. The most important thing is to continue on the journey. Michael Card, who I played one of his songs, has another song called "There Is a Joy in the Journey." The joy is not the perfection, at least while we are here. The joy is reaching for the gold, reaching and being what God would have us to be this day and every day to come. Amen.